So I guess they got a lot of polls out that they released yesterday as far as what U.S. Americans are thinking about any number of subjects. The one I found interesting in the Gallup poll was 98% of U.S. Americans they talked to say the U.S. military deserves a great deal or moderate amount of credit for the success of the operation.
Well, what are the other 2% thinking?
Who did they think did this? I mean, it would seem to me that if there was going to be a 100%er, it pretty much should be that. But I don't know. Like to talk to those people just to kind of...
I'd like to talk to the Gallup people and why they even thought that was a pertinent question.
I can't imagine. What color is the sky in your world? Anyway, on Obama's commander-in-chief, 32% say they feel a lot more confident. 21% say they feel a little more confident. On a broader front, about 39% say they have a lot more confidence than before that the U.S. can succeed in a war against Islamic terrorism. That's the Gallup poll. Meanwhile, the Newsweek poll found that Barack Obama didn't get any post-Bin Laden boost. The poll was first conducted 2 days before Obama's announcement on Sunday. So Newsweek went back and did another round of polling to compare. Approval rating, unchanged. Economy headed in the right direction. Beforehand, 31% said it was in the right direction. 56% said wrong direction. Now it's 27 and 60. So that didn't do anything as far as the economy is concerned. Mm. I was looking at the stock market yesterday and other investments, and
pretty
that
flat,
didn't move.
Yeah, right. Even on you know, Monday, even on the day that it all came down, or the day after it came down, it didn't. Yeah, didn't pop a lot.
So then that pop a lock? No, I didn't like my cars. Asking.
I have a theory.
All right.
Oh.
Not based on anything other than observation.
Absolutely
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
No.
Pardon me. I was
sipping a bev.
Well, actually, I did that, but I was also enjoying my breakfast while Scott was talking polling. So.
There you go.
Yep. Oh, what are we having this morning?
Cereal bar. Thank you.
Okay. There you go.
Does it have chocolate chips in it?
No, it has delicious blueberry filling.
There you are. Okay. But blueberry flavored filling.
I'd like to believe it's actually blueberry filling.
I think it's actually.
That's right.
I think it's basically gelatinous horse hooves that have been
dissolved
and
picked by young cherubs. Yes.
If it is gelatinous horse hooves, I will say that they did a fantastic job of flavoring it. So
I want to know what old cherubs look like.
Well, Stella hang Parton. Around. Hang around, Scott.
They look like Stella Parton.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, all right. Anyway, your theory.
We've been in the war on terror 10 years, fair to say.
Okay.
Bearing that in mind, one of the things that I notice as I get older is that, you know, obviously, number one, you lose track of time. You also tend to... you don't notice the subtle changes in society, perhaps, the landscape around you. And I'm wondering if the people that they asked, is this reflective, and we would have to know the ages, is this reflective of how the United States has now come to accept that the war on terror is going to be an ongoing phenomenon? It is not going to end anytime soon. Therefore, it is not fair, or it is not accurate, to gauge a president as a whole based on one issue related to something that is going that has gone on now for the better part of 10 years. Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, no, that probably does. You know, there were some people who had said, even the people who believed that the president would get some kind of a bump up, knew that it would be short-lived no matter what. But, yeah, you're saying to the point that it doesn't even make a blip on the screen.
No. Because the war on terror is now just part of our lives.
Yeah.
And almost to the foregone conclusion is that this is not going to make those who hate us any less.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we can hope, and this is what I asked Dave McIntyre on Monday, is could this possibly, or I take that back, I didn't have a chance to ask him, but could this possibly dissuade someone who is teetering on whether or not to take action against the United States?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know if I want to do this because they could come find me.
No. That I believe is the same template that you use with capital punishment.
Sure.
I mean, is that when you're going to do something, is that any kind of a deterrent to what you would do? I don't believe that's the case.
That's when you have to look at the socioeconomic status of the person considering it. If you're a middle class shop owner in Pakistan that does not agree with what the United States did, you've got a lot more to lose than someone who's 22 years old and doesn't have a job.
Yeah. The other thing that's unseemly about this a little bit, I mean, certainly what, and rightfully, the president should have said, this is a time to unite. I mean, that is exactly what he should have said, and it is exactly what we should hope. But in fact, unlike the 9/11, and again, as you say, since we've become calloused, maybe jaded a little bit about this, that the impact of Osama bin Laden's death has not necessarily united the country, to the point that, you know, yesterday there's Eric Cantor saying, quote, I commend President Obama, who has followed the vigilance of President Bush in bringing bin Laden to justice. I mean, they're trying to politicize it. And were there a Republican president, I believe the Democrats would be doing the same thing, trying to paint this thing with a political brush. And I got to say that Cheney and Giuliani were out there congratulating Obama as well. They should have. And I think they did it openly and truthfully. I think Donald Trump even said something about that was complimentary of the president for that.
Well, and to his credit, the president invited George W. Bush to Ground Zero today.
Right. Yeah.
George W. Bush turned him down.
Yeah.
You know, thanked him for the opportunity, but said which to me shows grace on both sides. Mm-hmm. It's an acknowledgement to the efforts of your predecessor, and for the predecessor, it's a way of saying to the successor, enjoy the moment. This is your moment as president.
Yeah. And what I'm reading is that for the 10th anniversary, he will join him. It was just for this that he chose not to. Now, for the president's part, smart move, as far as I'm concerned, would be to bring Harry Reid and John Boehner with him to New York.
Mm-hmm.
That way you could, again, have that uniting moment.
Yes.
Before we go back to, partisan bickering.
Beating each other up. Mm-hmm.
See how all that happens. By the way, while we're talking about that, we normally talk to Bill Flores on Wednesday. We're going to talk to him on Friday this week. Same time. It'll just be a different day. He has a conflict this morning. So that's Fed. There's a lot of fun going on in Austin. There's a lot of fun going on in Austin. Now, yesterday, Chase, you had the story about the University of Texas regent who had cut Gene Powell.
Yeah, wants to boost enrollment and cut tuition.
Exactly. Wants to boost enrollment. Is it like 10% a year or something like that? And a 50% across the board cut to all the UT system campuses, not just Austin. So, first up, hand in the air, Judith Zaffirini. She'd be your Texas senator, who is the chairman of the committee that oversees institutions of higher learning. She said when she read an article about the memo in the Austin American-Statesman, it, quote, freaked me out, unquote. Quoting the senator, how in the world can we pursue a goal of making the University of Texas at Austin the number one public university in the nation while funding is being slashed? And he wants to reduce tuition by half and increase enrollment by 10% a year? It's ludicrous. Is Ludacris coming to Texas? Is that what's going to happen?
Sweet.
He's going to be doing a concert there? Wow. So somehow I would think that if the chairman of the Senate Committee on Higher Education thinks it's a ludicrous idea, it's going to be tough. Going to be tough to do that.
Well, and she and Jeff Wentworth are the ones who are going back and forth over this guns on campus deal.
Ah, there's any number of things. Now, one of the regents they quoted was Steve Hicks. We know Steve. Steve's a friend of the station. Was previously expressing skepticism regarding the breakthrough solutions that Regent Powell had expressed. But he said he was never pressured by the chairman. His quote, Regent Hicks's quote, is, it's not logical to me that you can cut tuition in half, cut state funding by 15%, increase enrollment by 40%, and expect the outcome to be an improvement of quality of education. Mm. Yeah. So thanks a lot, Regent Powell, for coming up with that one. Now let's turn to our buddy Steve Ogden and the 3,000-pound gorilla that's sitting in the office with him. That'd be that Senate bill for the budget that he can't really get enough votes for. See, the deal is, what happens is you need to have, you got to get 21 members. Senate rules call for the consent of two-thirds of the membership, and there are 31 members if they're going to consider a bill. Now, on Tuesday, 19 Republicans voted to bring the bill up for debate. The Democrats voted in opposition. Today, however, the rules could be different. Now, I didn't know this. The chamber's operating rules say that on certain days, those being Wednesdays and Thursdays, the Senate does not need to clear the two-thirds hurdle as long as the bill at issue was first passed in the House was HB 1. So they changed the rules on Wednesdays and Thursdays. I mean,
good grief. Huh?
I find that fascinating. Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst said that he would prefer to pass a budget with the Democrats and noted that no budget in state history had full support from one party and total opposition for the other. At the end of the day, I love when they say that, I will pass a budget whether I'm standing on my head or I'm standing up straight, said David Dewhurst. For Steve's part, Steve said
he'll do it. He'll do it.
Yeah.
Just him?
Yeah. He would.
By himself.
That's what he says.
Okay.
Steve said that he would fight tooth and nail for Senate budget negotiations with the House, but noted that the divided vote would weaken the position. His quote, "The more members that vote for this budget, the easier it's going to be for me to fight for it." He said that today he will offer an amendment that removes the rainy day fund financing and makes the other needed changes. Later acknowledged that such an amendment to the budget bill would be unprecedented. That's for sure. Unlike the House, the Senate does not allow floor amendments on the budget, but an exception could be made if Dewhurst chooses to do so. So, see how that happens. They've been busy over there. But, I mean, I love the idea that on Tuesdays and Wednesdays they changed the rules.
Oh, it was Wednesdays and Thursdays.
I mean, excuse me.
You're changing the rules now.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no. I said it wrong. Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Somebody call the sergeant at arms.
That's parliamentarian, point of order. That's right. They changed the rules. Can we do, like, 58-minute hours on Wednesdays and Thursdays? That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Or one-hour show.
Yeah.
It could do that. Yeah. Well, see how that works. All right. It's 10 till.